This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You and I have unfinished business.
The first rule of Fight Club is you do not talk about Fight Club.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
Get away from her, you...
Ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
At the movies on BFM 89.9.
I'm Wap Hagen, I'm Fakir Pagan, alongside Ian McNally. The 70th Primetime Emmy Awards air in Malaysia on September 18th, the morning of September 18th.
The 70th?
Yes,
70th. It seems like only last year was the 69th.
Really? So, if you don't know, the Emmys celebrate the best in television, just like the Oscars supposedly celebrate the best in cinema.
It's the American TV prom.
Pretty much. We're not going to do a prediction show because we don't like doing those because we just feel it's kind of silly.
And we haven't. We're busy enough trying to watch all the TV and movies that we watch right now. There's things on here I've never heard of.
Yeah, there is a ton of stuff on the full nominee list, which is staggering.
Oh, what's probably worse is there's things on here I've heard of and I really want to watch and there's no time.
Like no
the Handmaid's Tale. I've not seen a single episode.
Instead, what we're going to talk about is the state of television and why it's so freaking awesome and also all of the great things that maybe you should be watching as we should be watching as well. I mean, The Handmaid's Tale is something, yet again, that I haven't seen any of. I've read the book by Margaret Atwood, but... it's two seasons in, and I just haven't had the time. I hear it's absolutely incredible and prescient and timely.
Because that's the thing. I mean, we knew that going into the first season, so it was kind of idea of, I'm not watching this one or two a week. If I watch this, I'm going to have to watch it, and I'm going to have to watch it all, and I'm going to have to watch it quickly before something else drops on us that we have to cover in, like, a week.
Correct. There is a ton of great stuff on television, and, you know, just based on the kind of stuff we have to do on Binge Watch that comes out not just on American terrestrial television, but also on cable, on streaming services. It feels like there's a great bit of representation this year with the nominees. I mean, outstanding drama series. You've got Westworld, This Is Us, Stranger Things, The Americans, The Crown, Game of Thrones, and Handmaid's Tale. Or two of those are from streaming services. Stranger Things, three actually, The Crown and The Handmaid's Tale.
And there's no problems with the Emmys like the Oscars that way, right? They have no hassle nominating Netflix, as far as I know.
I don't think they're being pretentious and cocky about it.
Because they want the stars to come to their show as well.
And also there's an acknowledgement that this is what people are watching.
Yeah.
Right? Everyone is watching Stranger Things. Yeah. Everyone is watching The Crown.
And if they don't nominate Game of Thrones, the wall will be stormed.
Exactly. Exactly. Game of Thrones needs a nomination every single year, except maybe this year when it wasn't on.
Yeah. Yeah, next year, I mean.
Next year, right? Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Outstanding comedy series as well. Curb Your Enthusiasm, Atlanta, Barry, Blackish, Glow, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, Silicon Valley, and Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. Lots of representation from streaming services and, of course, regular terrestrial networks in the United States.
And also lots of diversity representation with Atlanta and Blackish.
I haven't seen a single episode of Atlanta, but I hear it's absolutely brilliant. It's just Donald Glover being amazing at everything he does.
Yeah, and that's the kind of thing where it's, again, where it's like, I'm clearing a schedule for a weekend to watch all of them.
Yeah. Can I tell you this, though? I think one of the most underrated things where too few people are watching is Silicon Valley. There is something about that show. I watch a season, I absolutely love it, and then I kind of put it on hold because I've got to do all of this other watching for work. And when I go back to it, I'm reminded of how clever and subtle and layered that show actually is.
Is it Halt and Catch Fire is the other one, right? There's two IT shows, and both of them are like, you know, literally like, it's like Stranger Things. They're written, the demographic is me. I should be watching these, and I haven't watched either of them because I know, again, it's going to be a huge time investment and maybe Christmas. Maybe I'll just, you know, I won't leave the house for three or four days.
Yeah. It also shows how, I guess, television has evolved over the last few years when you look at how all of the attention is on shows like Stranger Things and Westworld and Game of Thrones, where they're not your traditional serialized fiction. They're all kind of novelesque.
And they're also, they're from the sci-fi ghetto.
That's true.
Usually like books, movies,
TVs. Oh, wow,
you're
right.
Like they're not like, we wouldn't consider those. Like, and Westworld, maybe season two wasn't as strong as season one. Did you finish it?
I finished season two.
Yeah, I finished season two as well.
I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it, but it's not the first season. I think I have heard people. I think generally the reception is not as good as the first season because it's the shock. It's possible to do that shock again, but like I think some of the actors later on we'll get to, like some of the actors from that show, very much deserve. Jeffrey Wright and Thandie Newton very much deserve to be nominated for all the awards. Like Jeffrey Wright, and in the second season he almost carries it.
Yes, it's all him.
Yeah. And
versions of him.
Yeah. It's like, who am I playing today? It's like, which version of me am I playing today? And Thandie Newton, something similar, where like she gets most of the emotional work because he's a brain damage dummy for some of it, which is like that's a different skill set than actually, you know, pouring your heart out on screen and like having it torn out of you repeatedly over and over again every week.
But also the diversity of content that we get at the Emmys is quite pleasant because you've got science fiction, you've got historical fiction, you've got fantasy fiction, and they're all kind of standing side by side as well. Mm. And they all have the kind of reach that they otherwise wouldn't in the popular scape. Mm. The Oscars does nothing to acknowledge science fiction or comedy. Mm. Or even if they do, it's almost like a throwaway, this Blade Runner thing was all right.
Yeah, or, you know, we'll give the Lord of the Rings on the last one when they're nearly done.
When they're done, right?
Never mind the costumes were amazing in the first one anyway. So, you know, we could have done that then, or editing, or sound, or acting, or anything. I mean, Gandalf deserves an Oscar.
And in that sense, I think the Emmys does well to acknowledge what people are watching and what people are really enjoying.
Because if they don't award those shows, no one will watch their show.
No, absolutely.
I do like that The Crown crops up a lot there because it's incredibly watchable.
Yeah.
And I think Claire Foy is nominated as well for lead actor and actress in a drama series. I have it's a problem in one way because she is so good in that now I see her in First Man, the trailer for First Man and the trailer for The Girl in the Spider's Web and other movies. It's like, no, you're the queen. I can't accept you now as any other character from now on. You're the queen. And it looks weird. Why is the queen running around in leather killing people?
But she is such a tremendous actress. Her transformation between that role, who she plays in First Man, and who she plays in Girl in the Spider's Web, it's insane.
Although they're all women with short hair.
They are, but they're all completely different.
She'll get the Oscar when she goes for the long hair role.
That's right. That's what's missing. Fake nose, long hair. That's how Nicole Kidman does it.
Yeah. And Charlize Theron.
Yeah. Taking a look at comedy as well, I think television is probably where you have some of the strongest comedy. Mm. I mean, we get some good comedy films, and even then, it takes a lot to pass any kind of laugh test. Mm. And I know we're incredibly critical when we review those movies because they fall into very distinct categories, right? You have the kind of frat house, slapstick, dirty comedy, yeah, or the straight up family-friendly, wholesome comedy. And
there's not enough smart comedy.
There isn't enough smart comedy, and I think that's what you find in Curb Your Enthusiasm and in Blackish. And man,
and Shameless is still going. I didn't know that.
Is still going.
And Curb Your Enthusiasm came back, right?
Yeah, and Glow. Man, I love Glow.
Yeah, and Ted Danson got nominated for a lead actor in a comedy series for The Good Place, and he is a delight in that.
And that show is an absolute delight.
I haven't seen season 2, shut up.
All right, then. If you look at the full nominee list, it actually goes into quite a lot of minutiae, mm-hmm, that you probably won't ever consider.
Which is the one that
being
has like
a casual TV
which
watcher?
Is the one that does movies but like comedy or drama and weird splits. Like the one that said The Martian was a comedy or a musical.
That's the Golden Globes.
That's the Golden Globes, because this is not as bad as that.
No, but this really does acknowledge all of the nitty-gritty of television, right? Mm. They go into costume design and visual effects, and they go into limited series and television movies and all of that stuff.
The biggest letdown for me, though, is that there's zero nominations for Twin Peaks: The Return.
Right?
Which is criminal.
Why is that?
Because
is it a David Lynch thing?
Because I don't know whether the people making the lists got as far as episode 8. Episode 8 is the one that has like minutes full of just static on the screen as you go through the zooming in on the nuclear bomb going off at White Sands, New Mexico, that was the thing that let evil into the world in a new way than what humanity had done before. And it is like it's like a walk-in video installation in televisual form. And this show tells you nothing. You want to see Agent Cooper, Dale Cooper, come back, and it withholds that for you for like 90% of the episodes. But it also gives you things you never knew you wanted. Like set design, costume design, they should have at least got something in those areas because there are some really fruity looking things. And also there's like David Lynch darkness that like he has a certain way of doing things in a lot. Like, have you ever seen the logo for Rancho Relaxo? I think it's the crackly electricity noise, and it looks like it was handmade. There's an awful lot of the effects in this show that look like they were just done by pausing the film and starting it again and removing something, but they're terrifying. And all of that is completely missed by the Emmys.
Ugh.
And that's a pity.
Criminal.
Even David Lynch himself, because he plays quite a big role in that, deserved some comedy actor, because he's the director of the FBI, ex-director of the FBI, who's just perpetually deaf and just shouts at people all the time. And it's comedy genius. His timing and everything is perfect. And even Miguel Ferrer has perfect comedy timing with him. And they're just nothing for it, which is a disappointment.
Every year in the Emmys, they also give out what's called a Governor's Award. And this year it's going to Star Trek.
Oh.
Which is kind of cool.
For what?
For being Star Trek.
For still being around. Is this a sign that it's due to die soon? Is this the Lifetime Achievement Award?
No, you know what? I think the advent of Discovery kind of made people remember that Star Trek can be great.
And also getting in ahead of the next 67 shows that we're going to be getting that probably three of which might drag the franchise into the dirt again.
Absolutely. But I think it was a reminder to, I guess, the television world of the influence and inspiration that Star Trek has been. I mean, every person I know who studied to be a scientist of this generation and the last can cite an episode of Star Trek that put them there. Yeah. And it's had this indelible influence on so many people's lives. So yeah, Governor's Award for Star Trek, long overdue.
And if Americans need a beacon of hope for the future, it's now more than ever.
God, yes. Even the darkest season of Discovery is not as dark as what's going on right now.
Yeah.
I've heard stories about The Handmaid's Tale, even though I've never seen an episode. Friends of mine who've seen episodes talk to me about a woman's march that takes place in the show.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, it was written before any of this happened.
Yeah.
And apparently that moment is so frightening because that is the excuse. That moment is the excuse that the government uses to strip women of their rights,
and
to
it's like
suspend
two
their bank accounts.
And it's like two steps along the monopoly board from where we are now.
Exactly. And that is what television and fiction should do. And I think, even though I haven't seen it, I think The Handmaid's Tale is probably one of the strongest things on that list right now.
Well, it's important television. I mean, Stranger Things is fun, but it's not really saying much about the world. Westworld is saying a lot of things about the world, but it's kind of hard to figure out what those are as you're going along through it. It's
right, like, now, yes.
Robots are bad, are they? I think, maybe, but
wait,
not really.
No, but we're worse.
We're worse. Also, we're simple and they're better. I don't know. Black hats are bad. White hats are good. I'm not sure. Whereas that show is very much like, yeah, that has a very it's a message show.
We strongly urge you to go check out all of this television. There is so much good stuff out there. You are spoiled for choice. Every time someone comes up to me and goes, hey man, what are you watching? What should I watch on TV? Recommend a new show.
Yeah, and you usually say, how long have you got?
I'm lost, right? Because
Don't recommend Lost.
I can't recall what I've seen.
Yeah.
That's one problem. I've started making a list.
You just go back and look at bfm.my/movies to
Correct.
See what's in there.
I literally do. I'm like, oh, wait, I reviewed this one. This was pretty good. Yeah. Go watch that. But you can actually catch up on full episodes of the nominees on demand on Astro.
Oh.
You can watch Game of Thrones, Westworld, Silicon Valley, Barry, Curb Your Enthusiasm. They've got box sets. So you can actually watch all of the seasons, all of the episodes. So, you know,
I want to watch Barry.
Got 200 hours.
I want to watch Barry.
Catch up on all of the Game of Thrones before 2019.
Is that, I think, there's someone did that before, I think, watching the previous seasons before this season. Like, there is now time, I think, if you watch one a day. There was some other podcast did this. There was a time where you could watch one a day and you would have enough to keep you going to the next. The next day would be the beginning of the series.
Barry is Bill Hader, right?
Yeah, and Henry Winkler's in there and he got nominated as well.
Yes, he did.
And it's the hitman who decides he wants to become an actor.
That's right.
And I think season two is coming as well. It's not just a one season thing.
No, it's on HBO,
yeah.
Which is also available on Astro. But don't forget to tune in to the Emmys. That's on Fox Life, Astro Channel 711. That's September 18th, Tuesday morning at 7 a.m., which is the red carpet, and then 8 a.m., which is the ceremony itself. And if you missed it, you can, of course, catch up all of that on demand, too. So there are lots of ways for you to watch all of these shows and the Emmys. Let us know what your favorite thing on television is right now. You can tweet me. I'm on at Umar Pagan.
I'm on at McNasty Prime.
You're listening to At The Movies. This is BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast.
To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.